Pháp thoại mà các bạn đang nghe được phát từ phatam.com, website hàng đầu về truyền thông đa phương tiện Phật giáo.
Sisters and friends, today is April 27th, 2012. We are having our tea ceremony because today is the last Friday of the month. Yesterday, I told the monastics in the monastery, time flies very fast. We just celebrate the new year and, it's already 4 months over. We almost stepping into the fifth month of the year. And then sometimes we reflect back and we haven't done anything yet. Time's already done. And because we are recognizing time flies that fast, that's why we will make the vow to enjoy each day we have and to appreciate whatever we have more, especially our loved one, cultivate more love, more compassion in our heart. Appreciate our loved one, appreciate things around us. Try to forgive more in order to make our heart, our mind more light, more release, less suffer. Because we know that the more technology life we have, the more difficulties we also deal every day. Today I went to visit a lady who was very sick in the hospital. I also have met one of her son. He is old now, and he knew me when I was very young, when I was a novice. I haven't seen him back for a while, and he still remember all the senior monks that he have met when we all just immigrants in Canada, Alberta. And he said that Thai, at that time, the relationship is very close. We meet each other almost, every 2 or 3 months. But now we haven't seen each other for a long, long time. And because we're also busy with many things. At that time, I did not marry yet, so I'm still free. All the monks not have too much things to do, so we have more time together. And now I'm busy with my family. You are busy with the temples, with the community, and each of us like just do our work, and we never have time to visit each other. And I said, that's right. That is the reason why even today it's far away, 300 kilometers. I still try to make my time to visit your mom. Because I recognize that we are very busy. But if we are able to make the time is already there, 24 hours a day, no less, no more. But the point is, do we know how to use the time? Do we know how to make the effort, cultivate the effort to satisfy something we want? Or we just, say, oh, I'm busy, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. And that is the point. I remember when we just came to Canada, we wrote a letter back to Vietnam almost every week. A lot of things to share, a lot of new things to experience. A year later, nothing else to write. Oh, we wish to have a phone call so we can make the phone call so we can hear the voice of each other. But at that time, no telephone. And later, after 1990, 93, 94, we start to have phone call, but very expensive. I remember at that time, if we make a phone call back to Vietnam, it cost almost $4 for a minute. But because we miss each other so much, so we don't care. Try to make 5 or 10 minutes call back and to talk. And now a lot of company, they competition, so the telephone is very cheap now. The cost is very cheap, only 4 cents for a minute. But we have nothing to share. Sometimes we call back and nothing to say, so how are you? How's life there? And they also ask back, how about you? How is the weather there? Only too few questions, the same every time we make phone call. So we can see, if we go back and we reflect, and we can see, and because of the time, because of the work, and because of so many things, and sometimes we have no time for each other. So that is why, when I have time to stay home with the monastics, with the Sangha, I'm very happy. Sometimes I cannot say no with the other things, that I have to appear, I have to be there. But I know that when I accept the invitation, then I have to do wholeheartedly with things I already accept. I drown myself in those places. But when I have time to stay home with the Sangha, I also very happy. I also happy with the other Sangha when I'm there for them. Today, Thầy Đức Tạng, Brother Peter, drive. I don't drive. I just sit there and enjoy the view. And suddenly I thought, I look at the clock, it is already 6 o'clock. We left early this morning. We back home, you know, 6 o'clock. And I see time flies so fast. And suddenly I thought in my mind, time is that short. Why we always, you know, suffer each other? We always do something to suffer our loved one. If we are unable to make someone happy, then why we have to do something to make someone unhappy? If we are unable to do something good, then why we always do things bad? Why we always, you know, think about the evil and try to do the evil? The thought arises in me that way, or on the way home. If we're unable to do something good, then why we have to do bad things? And that is the question in me when I'm back home. And the reason is because we always see the negative, the small negative from each other, but we don't see the whole things of the person. So we can recognize the positive points in each person. When I think about that and I remember the story I read, there was a young monk who built a wall for the temple. And he had used 200 bricks to build a wall. And after he had built the wall, and he recognized everything looks so nice, so straight, but only two bricks. By mistake, he did not put them in straight way. So the two bricks look not even. So he unhappy with the whole wall. He never dared to look at it. When people come to visit the temple, he afraid people will come to view the wall. So he always stand at the temple and direct, show the direction to the other ways. People come to bow him and he afraid them to turn to that way to see the wall. He said, please visit this hall, please visit this place. He afraid people to come to that area. So he always stand there to direct people to the other way. And there was the two young monks, senior monks, who come to visit the temple, and he say, Master, please visit that way. He said, no. When I step in here, I saw the wall. I want to come there and take a look. He said, no, nothing to see. Nothing to see. Please don't come there. But because the senior, so he respect and he let them go to visit. The senior monk stand in front of the wall and look for a while, and he smiled. He said, what a very interesting wall. The young monk said, nothing interesting. This wall look ugly. Because I built it, I am not happy with these two bricks here. Because look not even, look very ugly. These two bricks make the whole wall look ugly. He said, no. These two bricks, not even, but they have special, it make this wall look special. And then he said, no, because I always, you know, feel very unhappy with these two bricks. And the senior monk said, you have used 200 bricks to build. And 198 other bricks look very straight and nice. Why don't you appreciate and happy with 198 other bricks? Why you have to feel unhappy with these two bricks? And he have learned the lesson. Did we learn the lesson? In each of us, we have lot of positives. And sometimes a person, you feel that is a perfect person, and you expect that person to be perfect. But you know, we are human. We are humans, and sometimes we have done some mistakes. But not because of the small mistakes and you forgot all the good things that person have done. We have learned to accept, to appreciate, and to see the whole thing, not only focus to the small things and make us unhappy and that prevent us to come to each other. That is a very small story, but I think the lesson is very big. The lecture is very big. Sometimes we are unable to choose two things imperfectly. And if you want this, then you have to accept to lose the other things. Today, the son of the lady told me, because we are so busy with our fame, our money, we focus too much to money. We focus too much to our fame. That's why we always try to do something to make more money, to make our fame more bright each day, so we have no time for each other. I said, in this life, it's very rare to have both together, money and fame. If you accept to have the money, then sometimes you lose the fame. If you want the fame, sometimes you have to lose the money. And you know, in our society, some people, they are very rich, they have lots of money, just because nobody knows them. So they want to pay something to make their names all around on the street, in the city. Maybe they candidate for some position, but they are very sure they have no vote, but they still want to do something to make their names all around the city. People recognize them. The fame and the money very rarely come together. If you have this, then you have to lose the others. Very rare. And I said, if we do not know how to appreciate what we have, we always want more and more, then we just chasing after that and we are unhappy. We suffer because we never know how to stop, how to appreciate, and never realize that we have enough. And because we never have the word enough in us, that's why we always want more. And the more we want without, is not fit with our capacity, then we will have a lot of difficulties, lot of suffer, lot of tire. We're so tired chasing after something we are unable to achieve. And because we want to achieve something, that's why we make a lot of effort to do things like that. So in the Eightfold Path, the Buddha reminds us, diligent, we have to have the right diligent. Otherwise, we will suffer. For example, we know that coming to the Friday meditation session give us some calm, some relax for that week. We diligently make our time to come. That is the right effort. But if we are addicted to smoke, we try to make some time to smoke. Because, you know, some people come to the retreat, but they are unable to control their addicted. So, you know, and because the schedule is very tight, they would try to use some time, resting time, to come out and smoke. I remember some of the people who addicted like that. And because we have the rule that no smoking, you know what they do? They went to the washroom, they stand on the toilet, and they smoke, and they let the smoke directly to the fan, so I cannot smell the smoking. And you can see, I can see, you know, when you can see how we addicted to something that we unable to control. People addicted to gambling. Every minute or every time they have space, time, they always go there. So that is not the right effort. And when we have no right, because we did not have the right livelihood, we always have the wrong livelihood. That's why we have the wrong effort. So the eight four paths, they are connected. If we have no the wrong view, we will have the wrong thinking. It will lead us to the wrong action, the wrong livelihood, wrong effort. If we have the right view, we will have the right thinking, right livelihood, right effort, right diligence, and of course, right wisdom, right insight, concentration. So the story of the two bricks will help us to recognize if we have our loved one, and if we realize the mistake is not a major one, if we're able to let it go and try to let it go, appreciate their good effort. Because if we do not learn in that way, then never have anyone surround us that make us accept and justify at all, because we can see everybody have mistakes, everybody have wrong things. And if we can see that that's okay, they have the small mistake, but the other things they have done bring a lot, also a lot of happiness for the others. Try to take that, try to see that in order to easy to forgive, easy to accept. We always have some garbage in the garbage can. Even though we clean up, we empty, we change the new bag, but what is the purpose of the garbage can? It's to dump the garbage. Even the garbage can is very clean. We clean it, we change the bag, we put the lid on, but still, the purpose of it is to use for garbage. Same thing. We practice is for what? What is the purpose of the practicing? To calm ourselves, to relieve our own suffering, and to help the other to relieve. And because we are in this entire world, lot of things to suffer ourselves, lot of things to suffer our loved one. And that is why love is possible. Love need to cultivate in order to make the others happy. When I visit the senior today, and she told me that she afraid to stay in the hospital too long because that will cost a lot of money of the government. And her son, her daughter, they all take holidays to take care for her. I said, don't worry. We have the physical body. Of course, we have to be sick. That is very normal. But you should reflect. You are very lucky, very fortunate. You are sick, but you have the hospital to take care for you. You have the doctors, you have the nurses to take good care for you. Is that your fortunate? And you don't want to stay here long to waste the money to take more space of the hospital? Then don't worry. Relax more so you can heal faster, so you can go home early, so you don't have to stay here long. You see what I mean? She say she afraid she stay here too long, waste the money of the government, and waste time of the doctor, she take the space of the hospital. Then I said, then don't worry. You have to relax to make yourself much get well soon. Get well soon so you can go home soon. Then you don't have to stay here long. Then you will not waste the money. But that is not waste, because this is your something that. And she say, but I waste the money. No, your whole, she has 11 children. I said, your 11 children multiply their spouse. It's 22 people in your family working. And they pay for the taxes. So you also, the taxes of your children also include here. So don't worry much. Relax more. So you can get well soon, you go home soon. And the body and the mind is only one. If the mind is relaxed, the body can get well early. The body also get happy. I know that each of us here, we have little of sickness. Even myself. Even young doesn't mean we never sick. We always have something wrong with our body. But not because of that and we forgot the other things. Just focus to the sickness all the time, it makes we more sick. Yesterday I talked to the nun, and one of the nun is sick. And she told me, Thay, even though I'm very sick, but I don't want to, you know, stay home all the time and thinking about my sickness. It just makes me more depressed, more sickness. So I use the time I have left. I will do something. So if any senior need to go to doctor, she will bring them to doctor. If they want to go to buy something, the nun will give them a ride. She said, I will use my capacity now to do anything for the others. Instead of sitting there and just, you know, thinking about my sickness, my disease, just make me more sick. Use the time I have left, use the energy I have left to do something for others. And that's what I always think about myself. I will do everything in my own capacity to the others. We have to focus to the positive more than the negatives in order to make a strong, stable, and relaxed. You can see that this morning we have a lot of snow, but in the evening everything melts. And that's this life. We never expect to have snow in this time, but life is hard to tell. Weather is hard to tell. Everything can be possible, but not because of that, and it prevents us. I make the commitment with the family, I will go there to visit her, even 3 hours drive. And I only have 2 hours to visit her, and I have to come back for the class. This morning, when I wake up and I look at the window, I see a lot of snow. And the first thought, you know, if you think, snow will be danger, you don't go, then you will feel regret. Maybe we never know what happened to the patient. So I make my commitment, and I make the strong decision. I have to go. I will go. Then when we drive out of Edmonton, then everything is nice and clean. So when I come back, everything's so clean, dry, snow's melt. So we have to view the life in the positive ways in order to make us more appreciation, more happy. If we always focus to the negative, it just sunk us down, it make me more, us more suffer, more depressed. We have one of the member here who was stroked, and he unable to use his right hand, but he tried his very best, learned how to write in his left hand. He made it. Before he cannot use the left hand because he always used his right hand, but when his right hand unable to do anything, he cry a lot and he think he cannot do it. But with his strong mind, he made it. He listened to the Dhamma talk. He tried to write everything down by his left hand. And after that, he made a book. He gave me one. He made the copy. He gave me one. And in that book, he said, "This is all the dharmas that I have learned from the CDs. And what I appreciate the Dhamma, I wrote it down, and I want to give Thầy one copy to keep." Because that's what I encouraged him. I said, "Why don't you try to write by your left hand, write something good for your children. You leave it back for your children. So when you die, this book will stay with your children." And he have learned that. He wrote it and he give the original copy to his children and he make one copy for Thai. So you know the encouragement words is very needed for our human's life, our daily life. Try to encourage people more than try to say, "You bad, you cannot do anything, you are useless." Then, you know, it will make that person more down and down. It's like the kids, even they are not there yet, but say, "Wow, you're so good, you're so great. I'm so happy with what you've done. You, I am proud about you." And they will do their best. And that is what something we have learned from the story. Not because of the two bricks, then we forgot the 198 other bricks. And because of that two uneven bricks, it show up the other 198 bricks look beautiful. It's like when we watch the movie. If everybody is perfect in the movie and nothing to watch, because there is some bad, some good, that's why the story, the movie, more interesting. Any question?
Not a question, but your story of the brick wall reminded me when I was in Bangkok, Thailand a few years ago. We were wandering around with my family looking for the temple of Jain Buddha. This man would come up and say, "Oh, hi, where are you from?" I'd say, "I'm from Canada, I'm looking for the Jain Buddha temple." He said, "Oh, no, that temple is closed. Fix it up. Why don't you come with me and I'll take you to my uncle's carpet shop and he'll sell you a carpet." No, thank you. So 2 minutes later, another man comes up and, "Oh, where are you from? Canada. Where are you going? What are you looking for?" "Well, looking for the Jain Buddha temple." "Oh, no, the monks are on retreat. It's closed. Why don't you come with me and I'll take you to my uncle's souvenir shop."
Yeah.
And so after a while, I was getting pretty annoyed with these people and really trying to deceive me. And telling me lies. So finally I lectured this one fellow. "Are you a Buddhist?" Yes, I'm a Buddhist." "Why are you breaking the precepts?" "I was lying." And I didn't know what to say anymore. So it really upset me at the time. But as I think about it in later years, I realized that Thailand is a very poor country and people are, I think, just trying to make a living in whichever way they can. So I try to reflect on a more compassionate way now and think, "Okay, well, he was trying to deceive me, but he didn't really cause much harm." So,
yes.
So now I don't really feel that badly about it. Even when I travel now in foreign countries, I try to have a little more compassion to beggars and people that come up to you, because very fortunate to be a Westerner, so these people don't have anything, so I try not to get so upset about things like that. Just reminded me of your brick.
That's very right. Same thing when I was in China. One day I was a walk on the street, and late at night, I saw a lady who carried a lot of fruits on her shoulder to sell. And I said, wow, she have to carry very heavy things to sell on the street. So I took out money to give her. Go home soon. I said that. She very appreciate, and she walk away. We walk a few blocks, we see another person. Same. We did not know, just give and give and give. And when we done, we'll all see them together. They, because they are family. You know? Because they never expect people to give them money in that way. But very fortunate, suddenly something happened to them without any expectation. And then they think, wow, these people, you know, very kind. If they see somebody carry things heavy, they will give. So they pass on that heavy heavy basket of fruits to all their whole family. And that happened everywhere, even in India. So if you go to India, you go visit the Buddha's holy places, you will see a lot of fake monks. One day I walk in, I saw a lot of young monks, they are play card, you know, they're gambling. And then they hang up their rope on the trees. They wear the normal clothes. When they see a group of Buddhists come to the site, they jump down and they put on their robes and they put on their hands and they try to pray. And then when we walk by, they say, money, money, money. I say, no, that's bad. We understand, as our brother here understand, because when people are so poor, they will do everything just to make, to have some money to live. I visit some village, very poor village. And because they know that if the Buddhist group come, they always give something to us, to them. So when they see us come, some big sister hold their younger children as a brother or sister, they try to hit that baby, so they cry, so we can give more money. When I was in Burma, it's the same, Myanmar. Lot of young monks, they look so cute. They say, come, I want to take picture with you. And after we took picture with them, they say, money, money, money. I said, no, that's bad. We will give you, but don't do that. You know, but I understand. We understand when people, us the same. Not only in those poor countries, even in our city. Did I share you about the situation in the temple? A lot of people come here in the same way. One day there was a man who ring the bell and said, he cried, so you know what, my mother-in-law died in Vancouver. We both want to go there to attend the funeral. But the bus ticket is too expensive. We only have $60 left. I give you my credit card. I give you my driver license. I give you everything. I just want you to borrow from you $60 so I can afford for my bus ticket. I said, no, that's okay. If you need to go back to attend your mother-in-law or funeral, I will give you. I give them $60. 2 days later, somebody come with the same situation. And then someday they come here, they said, I come from Red Deer. I want to come here to find some job, but unfortunately I lost my wallet. Now I need some money to buy the bus ticket to go back home. That happened all the time in the temple. One day, They come here to say, oh, I live in St. Albert. I want to come here to find a job. But I cannot find a job and I have no money to go back home. I said, okay, wait a minute. I go back to my office and I only have $3 left. So I give them, I say, this is all I have today. So I give you all. The next day, same time, another person come with the same situation. I said, I told you honestly, yesterday somebody come here, asked me for money, and I only have $3 left. I give that man already. So now I have no more money to give. I'm sorry. He said, oh, that's okay. He left. So I follow him to the front of the temple. I saw the yesterday man staying in front of the temple and waiting for this man. I saw him. I said, here, this is the man who came yesterday. And they said, that's okay. They walk away. You see, not only in the poor countries, anywhere, but when people need something, they will do everything. They don't mean it, but if you open your heart and understand and forgive people in that way, you feel more relaxed in you. Otherwise, we cannot appreciate anything with people around us, with things around us every day. Sometimes you walk in the shopping mall, you expect the person in front of you, he opened the door, and usually in our tradition, we will keep the door open for someone who come after us, right? But somebody, they never do that. But not because of that, and we get mad at them. If they are not there, we still need to go there and open the door. So why we have to expect that person to keep the door open? Usually when we come in first, we saw someone almost get to the door, we keep the door open and let them come in too, right? But sometimes people forgot or they don't have an idea to do that. Then we don't have to expect people in that way. If they are not there, we still come there and open the door by ourselves. There was a man that I knew, he told me one day, there was a lady who opened the door for him, and he forgot to say thank you. So after he stepped in, that lady expected him to say thank you, but he didn't say it. So this lady showed her mat right away. She said, you're welcome. He's so embarrassed, you know. He forgot, he didn't mean it. Sometimes I have the same problem. I think I have told the Sangha once. One day I went to the state, and when we go back to Edmonton, we need to go to the custom. And because the flight was very late, and I know someone is waiting for me too long, so I tried to rush a little bit so I can catch in line early, so I can get out early. When I focused to that, and I forgot people around, so I tried to cut off the line. And there was a man who turned around me. He said, what did he say? He said, why you need to go that fast? You almost die. You know, when he say that, it make me reflect. I thought, when we focus to something so rushed and we forgot that we are monk, we should just slow down and something like that, you know. But I don't get mad at that man. I can recognize my problems, my faults. I did not mindful enough. I tried to cut off the line in that way. So sometimes we try to understand people, and if something happened, people will understand us back. There was a lady who asked me, Thay, when I get old, I want to die in peace. Can you show me what can I do so when I die, I can die, you know, peace and easy? I say, when we still alive, try to be easy. Try to relax more, try to be easy. Because what we have done here is like become the karma. So when we get old, we won't do anything else, but that all the karma will come and we use it. It's like we are saving the money into our saving accounts. So when we retire, we get all, we use all the money we save. Same thing. Our actions now, our behavior now, will become the habit. Habit is like the karma. So when you get old, that karma will come out and react. So while we're still young, we're still healthy, try to live easy. Try to forgive. Try to be easy as much as we can. Then when we get old, we will make people surround us, take care for us more comfortable, because some senior, they're very hard to deal, very hard to work with. But some senior, they're very easy to work with. Today, when I shared a few points with the family, the lady's children, and they say, yeah, now what you told me us, we have realized that, because we never have anyone in our family was sick. And this is the first time my mother was very sick, and I can realize how hard to deal with the senior. I saw this is very normal with old people, especially when they are sick. I have worked a lot with the senior in the community, so I have a little bit of my experience. So when we are young, we still can practice, try to practice as much as we can. So when we old, what we have practiced will become something to use when we get old. So today, with this tea ceremony, I would like to share with you the story very close to our daily life. And this is something we need to reflect, we need to calm down, and to use, to apply into our daily life. And in that practice, we will find more information, more details, more lecture, more learning when we practice something. Learning is not enough. We need to apply, we need to practice what we learn, and then we will realize a lot of interesting, a lot of good things to learn in what we have practiced. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your presence. Enjoy your weekend. Om Mani Padme Hum.